Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, Why Does God Allow Suffering? My assignment this morning is to help all of us to understand why in the world God allows suffering. I don't know about you, when I was coming up, the first prayer I learned is something to the effect that God is good and that God is great. And we thank him for the food we're about to receive. And my mama and my daddy makes me say that prayer until I can say it without even thinking about it. So I grew up learning that God is a good God. But as I continued to grow as a youngster, I saw something happen in my family that was very traumatic. My older sister all of a sudden died. I didn't know much about death, but I watched my mama, how she was devastated. And the question in my heart, I couldn't tell anybody, but the question in my spirit is, why does God allow suffering? I watched my mama suffer so much. No one could console her. And it goes on, not for days, not for weeks, not for months, for years. In fact, at some point, I thought that was the only child she got. I literally watched suffering face to face. Even in this church, I've had to cry sometimes as your pastor. I've witnessed suicide. I've witnessed calamities, homes being burned down, people fired on their job. I've witnessed COVID walked in and take from our midst. I always tell people see the glory, but they don't really know what it takes to pastor a church. And the question kept ringing in my spirit, why does God allow suffering? As a theologian, I began to study the Word of God, and I began to see more and more evidence of suffering. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, I see the story of Miss Naomi. This is a woman who love God, who is proud to be a child of God. But guess what? She lost her husband. And then shortly thereafter, she lost her only two sons. I have to ask the same question. Why does God allow suffering? I read again in the book of John, chapter 11, verse 21. A lady by the name Martha, her brother Lazarus died. The family was devastated. They sent for Jesus, but Jesus came late. And in her pain, in her suffering, she said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Again, I keep on reading the Word of God, asking the same question. Why does God allow suffering? I read in the book of Psalms, chapter 13, verse 1, the story of David, the man after God's own heart. But he felt abandoned. He felt a distance between him and God. He was suffering so much that he asked the question, "Lord, how long will you forget about me?" Again, I asked myself the same question. Why does God allow people to suffer? A preacher like me, by the name Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12, verse 1, he was more candid with God. He asked the question, "Lord, why is it that wicked people seem to be doing better? And the righteous looks like they're forsaken?" Then again, I read about the story of Job. In Job chapter 21, verse 7, and I don't need to rehearse what happened to Job in your hearing. Many of you know about him. But in a nutshell, he lost everything. He lost his home, lost his business. The Bible talks about all of his cattle gone, all of his treasure gone. He had 7 sons. He had 3 daughters. They were having a celebration. The building collapsed, and all of them died. In one single day, he had to bury 10 people. You can imagine having to place 10 caskets in front of the pulpit. Again, the question must be asked, why does God allow suffering? My brothers, my sisters, the truth be told, there are many people, even in this church, many outside this church, many in the Christian world who are going through right now. And you are the one that God sent me to this morning. Yes, you're a Christian. Yes, you go to church. You give. You serve. And then sometimes you wonder, why is this happening in my life? Sometimes children won't act right. Sometimes loved ones get very sick. Sometimes you are living with someone with incurable disease. The question must be asked, why do Christians, people who are children of God, why do we have to hurt? Why do we go through so much pain? One day you are up, the next day you're down. Been there. I know what I'm talking about. One day it's sunshine. Then before you realize it, it's cloudy day. The question keep popping up in my spirit. Lord, why? And maybe somebody's under the sound of my voice this morning. And you asking the same question. Lord, I wonder why. Why me? Why this time? Why do I have to witness the death of a loved one? I was preparing to minister this morning, and about 5 a.m., my phone rang. Somebody woke me up. They said, Pastor, why? Say, I got to leave today. I've been here 2 years helping my mom and dad. But I got to go back home now. He said, but you know, I'm devastated. Because now when I come back to this house, I have no mom and dad to return to. And she asked me the same question. It was as if she had read my sermon. Why? My wife was upset that because she knew I went to bed very late. And she could not believe somebody would call that early. But we live in a world full of suffering. A lot of challenges. Even in my own life. Many times I've had to ask the same question. Why? People going through hardship. People going through sickness. Sometimes your marriage don't work as you want it to work. Sometimes the children fall sick. Sometimes it's not you. If the devil cannot get to you, he get hold of somebody close to you, so that he can tie you down. And today, by permission of the Holy Spirit, I want to share with you briefly why we go through things. And I want to prescribe what you need to do when you find yourself in that situation. Now you know my assignment. First, you need to know that things happen because God is suffering. God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's a suffering God. That means that he don't owe you and me any explanation. Because he's God all by himself, we have to learn just to understand where he's coming from. Our thinking, our thoughts are far below. We don't understand, for example, why he will rain on the just and bad folks unjust. Now you would think he would skip their house because they're no good. But God is God by himself. Why does God permit suffering? Another reason is because of something we call free will. God has created you and me with free will. That means we have the opportunity to choose. And sometimes some of our choices come back to hurt us. I almost say ouch. We have a choice to love, but we also have a choice to hate. We have a choice between good and evil. Believe it or not, we have a choice between right and wrong. So sometimes in the exercise of our free will, sometimes we messed up. How you going to live on earth, for example, is really up to God. But the quality of your life while you are on earth is up to you and me. Whether you choose to be eating boudin every day, whether you choose just to smoke weed every day, it's your choice. You have free will. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. There are many choices I have made that today I look back and regret. But my point to you is that our free will sometimes brings suffering into our life. Am I right about it? And sometimes God allows suffering in our life because he has a greater purpose. You may not know it, but God has a master plan. Just think about it. Today is communion. Guess why we're here? We are celebrating not just our risen Savior, but our risen Savior that was brutally murdered. God allowed his own son to be punished unjustly, brutalized. Why would he do that? Because there's a greater purpose. He knew if Jesus would go to the cross and pay the price, then you and I would not go to hell. So sometimes in this life, you and I need to understand we go through things because God had a greater purpose. Tell somebody I got it. I wish I can testify, but let me stay with the Bible. There was a man, his name is Uzziah. God literally told him to marry a hooker. And that man went through hell. The woman would go out. You know the story. He would act a fool. And after she get in trouble, God would tell Mr. Hosea, go back and get your wife. And by the way, she owe some drug lord out there. Pay the bills. Bring her home and clean her up. And then as soon as she settled down, she went right back to the street. Why would a good God allow somebody to be stuck with a hooker? But sometimes God allows things in our lives for a greater purpose. God was trying to teach that preacher man that I want you to understand how Israel is treating me as their God. I am married to Israel, but Israel remains a hooker. Brother preacher, you have no sermon to preach until you feel the pain that I feel. So you can see clearly there was a purpose in the suffering of that preacher man. And maybe you're here today, you're going through something. Maybe you're hearing me on radio, and you're now in the middle of a crisis. Habakkuk wrote in Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 2. He said again, like Jeremiah, why is it that wicked people prosper? And the righteous, the ones who are going to church, the ones who are trying to make the world better, why does it seem like they're the ones suffering? Before we take the communion this morning, I want us to please consider the suffering of Jesus Christ. Don't just go through religion. I want you to imagine and see what he went through. According to the Bible, he knew the pain and the suffering that was coming. That's why he went to the garden called Gethsemane. Am I still in the book? And the Bible say he didn't go there feeling sorry for himself. He went there to pray. But because of the pain, because of the suffering, the word of God said that there were tears running from his face, there was sweat, and the sweat from his face was like drops of blood. How many of you know that's very traumatic? He was there for about 3 hours. Imagine somebody going through that for that long. He did that for you. He did that for me. And the moment he was coming out of that, he instantly got arrested. I don't know about you. I just happen to be a lawyer. It is not fun to be arrested. It's not fun. I know many of you, the only experience you had with law enforcement is just to be stopped for traffic violation. But it is no joke when a gang of police come in, rush at you, slam you to the floor, and get you handcuffed. They rush him from judgment hall to judgment hall. That same evening, not even enough time to get a lawyer. Not even enough time to call your loved ones. They said, we are going straight to trial right now. My brothers, my sisters, Jesus, for your sake, for my sake, went through 6 trials in the middle of the night. What court do you know that means late in the midnight hour? My brothers, my sisters, 3 of those trials were done before the Jews. The other 3 trials was done before the Roman court. The word of God recalled the Romans, who, by the way, they're not even Christians. They don't even know God. But guess what? They found him not guilty. Then he went before his own. I can stop there and preach. Somebody asked me the other day, can you tell us about 30 years of being a pastor? I said, no, I plead my 5th Amendment. and I saw that he was following me around. So he said, I want to pay your lunch. I said, that's all right. I'll take free food. But he kept asking me the same question. He said, I'm pastoring our church. I'm averaging about 20 people now. But I want to be like you when I grow up. Can you tell me? And I said, the Fifth Amendment right of the U.S. Constitution is available to every citizen. And I happen to be a citizen of the United States. So I said, I plead the Fifth. And then at some point, he asked me again. He said, let me ask you this way. Can you tell me just one thing that I need to watch out for? I said, well, I'll bless you with one thing. I said, one of the experiences you will deal with is that while you're fighting the enemy outside, there are enemies. And he started to cry. I said, I apologize. I said, I was trying to protect you. Jesus was not condemned by the outsiders. He was condemned by his own. Now you see why the Bible says he came to his own. But his own receive him not. But as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become children of God. I'm talking about church folks. I'm talking about king folks. They were the one shouting, crucify him. Can you imagine? You don't need to be a theologian to understand the Bible. Can you imagine the people he prayed for? The people he healed them when they were sick. The same people who will call him in the middle of the night and he was there for them. When they were hungry, he fed them. Can you imagine? And now they're standing in front of him, telling the whole world, crucify him. All of them, with a loud voice. There's a lesson there, but I won't go there because that's not my assignment. I can just imagine Jesus Christ looking at them, see? Seriously? You got to be kidding. When you were sick, I came. When you were hungry, I fed you. When you called, I answered. Why? But they said, crucify him. Then you know the next thing that happened to him? They tied his hand to a pole. In case you don't know, that's their way of making sure you cannot move. And they begin to scourge him. By the way, I can preach on that because under the law, you don't get scourged and hanged. It's one or the other. The Romans say, just beat him and let him go. No, but guess what they did? They beat him so bad, and then they crucified him. He did that for you. He did that for me. Yes, So that's why I don't understand why you cannot shout when you come to church. That's why I don't understand when you are still full of hate in your heart. When you think about what Jesus did, it will make you love everybody. The book of Isaiah chapter 52 verse 14 described how bad he was beaten. The whoop that they were using on him had blade, metal blade in it. The word of God say he was beaten so bad you cannot even recognize him. Beyond measure. Disfigurement. And after that, they put him, they said, you're going to carry your own cross to where you're going to be crucified. And you know how it was when they hang him on that cross. They nailed his hand, they nailed his feet. So the only way he could survive was to be gasping for air. The whole idea of crucifixion is to hurt you so bad that you suffocate to death. In other words, physically he was tortured. Mentally he was tortured. Emotionally he was tortured. The Bible says, and that went on for 6 long hours. Just use your imagination. And he did that for you. He did that for me. You know, I was reading that account. What really got my attention is when I discovered his mama was standing there.
Watching the whole thing.
Can you imagine, those of you who are mothers, imagine you standing there when they stripped your child naked. I don't know about you. I would not want to stand naked in front of my mama. I can see that when I was a little baby. But when I become a grown man, mama, please knock the door before you come in. But there he was. With no clothes on. There he was telling the old world, Mother, behold your son. It was a very painful experience. On top of that, the crowd was laughing at him. Even one thief on the cross was making fun of him. Save yourself. I thought you said you're a miracle worker. Where are all those powers you've been bragging about? And while all of that was going on, he was carrying your sins and my sins. The weight of the world was upon him. Let me put it in practical terms. He was carrying your cancer. He was carrying your diabetes. He was carrying your back pain. He was carrying your heart trouble. He was carrying your hypertension. One songwriter put it this way, he will not come down. I am so glad. He decided to stay on that cross. He did that for you. He did that for me. Now I finally go to my sermon. Out of pain, he cried out, my God, my God. Why has thou forsaken me? took us back to the question, why does God allow suffering? Things got so bad, he cried out again. He said, I am thirsty. And you would think those wicked people would give him some fresh water or something. They gave him vinegar. The worst thing that can happen to you when you are going through. That's why he cried out for the final round. He said, it is finished. That's a whole sermon by itself. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I brought you and me some good news. It is finished. Your struggling days are over. It is finished. Everything the devil meant for evil concerning you and your family, God will turn it around for your good. Find somebody next to you and say, it is finished. I don't know what you're going through. You may not know what I'm going through. But oh, I feel good today. Just to know it is finished. Every attack of the enemy, every effort to break my blessing, to stop my miracle, I said it again, it is finished. Jesus will not come down from that cross. And the Bible said, he submitted his spirit unto the Lord. He said, Lord, into your hand I commend my spirit. But the question still remains, why would a good God allow his own son to go through all that? Look at the life of Job. Job was like Jesus Christ now. Jesus didn't commit any crime. Even brother Job, an ordinary human being like you and me, the Bible says he was righteous. The Bible says he was upright. The Bible says he was serving God. But you know the story? The devil came to God. He said the reason why he's going to church is because you bless him. I can stop here and preach to some of you. Why do you wait until you're blessed before you come to the house of God? And as soon as something happens, as soon as you lose your job, as soon as somebody got sick in the house, you stop coming. God himself was bragging about Job. But Satan said, look, I know human beings. If you remove the edge, if you remove all that covering, he will curse you out. One of the greatest pain I go through in church is to see people stop coming to church when they get in trouble. The church is a hospital. When you get in trouble, that's the very time you need to run to God. Satan knew how you church folks behave. He said, you just remove all those good things. Let him lose his car. Let him lose his job. Let him lose his house. Let him lose one of his children. He will curse you. And if you read that story, one thing amazing. The Bible says God gave the devil permission. Why does God allow suffering? Sometimes for a greater purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, I can stop there and remind you that what happens to you or whatever you're going through right now, Satan may bring it, but it was God who permitted. And you need to know, my brother, my sisters, if God permits it, it's for your good. Oh, it would take an understanding to receive that. Nothing can happen to you as a child of God unless God allows it. God's got you. I believe I say that again. God's got you. Even in your mistake, even in your messed up, even in your sin, in my sin, God's got you. Amen, somebody. Sometimes God will allow that in order for him to use you. Because somebody said, he said, I thank God for my mountains and I thank God for my valleys. I thank God for every storm. He said, what I found out, if I never had a problem, how am I going to know there is a God who can solve them? Sometimes he allows sickness. Yes, I said it. Sometimes he allows pain. Yes, I said it. One of my son-in-law-to-be called me yesterday. I was sharing that with you. He said, he called me dad. He said, dad, you won't believe what happened to me. I just lost my job. And I said, I don't know what's going on. This is exactly what I'm going to be preaching about this weekend. I said, son, tune in. There is a reason. There is a purpose. He told me, I've been here 19 years. I said, God has something better. Get ready to be blessed. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Get ready to be blessed. Get ready to be elevated. Get ready to be promoted. When one door closes, God has something better. If you receive that, shout amen. Amen. God told Satan. You see, when Satan could not hurt Job, and Job would not curse God, Satan came back to God. He said, the reason it's not working is because you've not allowed me to touch his body. And God said, you can touch his body, but you cannot mess with his soul. Oh, there's a lesson there. Some of you are seeking your body right now. God only allowed that because he has something better in stock for you. He will give you a testimony that you can tell the whole world that we serve a God who is Jehovah Rapha, who can heal your body. You know, he cannot kill you. You know why? Your soul belongs to God. I believe I say that again. Some of what I do is not just boldness of the spirit, it's because I know him, I know him. My soul belongs to God. Job, yes, he lost everything. He went through so much. Before the devil got through with him, he makes sure his whole body is covered with sores. He makes sure there are boils everywhere in his body. But here's really what I want you to take home. Notice how Job react. Notice how Jesus react. Many of us, when we are going through suffering, we flip out. Many of us, when we're going through suffering, we blame God. Many of us, we turn on our spouse, our family member, as if they're the problem. That's not the right way to react. Notice what Jesus, what he did. He said, "Father, forgive them." Some of you need to go home today and forgive everyone that has caused you pain. Some of you need to lose that man, lose that woman, let him go. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And look at what Job did. Look at his own reaction. He said, "Naked I came to this world. Naked I shall return." He said, "The Lord give it. The Lord take it away. Blessed." Blessed be the name of the Lord. It means when Job realized he had to go through these things, when he realized God allowed it or God permits it, what he did was to turn to worship. If you don't hear anything else I have to say, if you were there in your pain, in your suffering, turn to worship. Brother Pastor, how did you know that? That's what he did in Job chapter 13, verse 15. He said, "Though he slay me, yet I will serve him." Despite what you're going through, despite the sickness, despite the pain, I've been through some of that. I'm still going through some of it. Ain't no shame in my game. But I didn't come here to complain. I don't come here so you can have pity on me. No, I came here this morning to worship God. In my suffering, I wish I could take you out and testify. I preach so hard in this house, in this pulpit. I bust the vein of my eyes. I lost one eye. Paul said, "My body bears the scars." You're not serving God yet until you have some scars to show for it. You don't need pity party. Wake up every day and say hallelujah anyhow. Lord, thank you for life. Yes, I may lose my limb, but I'm still alive. Yes, I may be moving slow right now, but I'm still here. Lord, thank you for my healing. When I was sick, you healed my body. When I lost my job, you made a way out of no way. Do I have a witness in the house? Thank you for touching my body. Thank you for watching over my children. Thank you for making a way out of no way. It takes real faith. Are you still here this morning? You know what I'm trying to say to you? Because we need to take the communion. Turn your hurts to hymns. Are you listening to me? Turn your opposition to opportunities. Are you listening to me this morning? Turn your trials to triumph. My brothers, my sister, turn your sorrow to strength. Every Sunday ought to be a day of thanksgiving. Turn your pain to purpose. Turn your mess into a message. While people are looking at you funny, God is giving you an opportunity to show them there is a God who can turn things around. Turn your scars into stars. Real faith will cause you to turn your setback to your comeback. Who am I preaching to today? God is ready to bless you. God is ready to heal you. Turn all your fears into a future. Turn all your tests into a testimony. Turn all your struggle into success. Oh, if I have to testify, it's not always easy these 30 years, but there is a God. He will stand with you. He said he'll walk with you. He said he'll talk with you. He said he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Turn your rejection to redirection. Turn your valleys into victory. Turn all your disappointment to a new appointment. God is ready to use you. God is ready to heal you. God is ready to bless you. God is ready to give you a testimony. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. If Hannah made it.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family. Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family.
KAYT and KQJO-FM. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
Central Louisiana Juneteenth is hosting its 34th annual celebration from June 6th through June 19th. This family-friendly event celebrates cultural heritage and history. Join us. We have something for the whole family. Come share your history and know your history. Let's do this together. For information about the Empowerment Summit, call 318-447-2706. And info on the Unity Leadership Conference, call 318-709-0635. Or check us out on Facebook or our website.
Central Louisiana, it's time to celebrate freedom, culture, unity, and community. It's the 34th annual Juneteenth celebration, June 6th through the 19th. The festivities kick off Friday, June 5th, with Sister to Sister at Mount Zion Baptist Church, featuring guest speaker Connie Cooper. Then, the Empowerment Summit on June 9th and the Unity Leadership Rollout on June 16th. Mark your calendars for the parade day, Saturday, June 13th, with the parade starting at 6 p.m., heading downtown to the levee. And don't don't miss live performances at the Alexandria Riverfront featuring Soul Grooves, Slack and Friends, David Sylvester, and Lil Nathan. Plus, a Juneteenth musical celebration on June 14th and worship services on the 19th with Pastor Emil Jones Sr. For more info, 318-792-6736. Sponsored by the City of Alexandria, GATA, Alexandria Pineville CVB, RPSO, CLECO, PNG, Cabrini, Rapides Regional, Aetna, and Red River Bank.
Juneteenth Association is a proud sponsor of this station.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
And oh, how